This episode of East Meets West is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace.com is the fast and easy way to publish a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 10% off your new account, go to squarespace.com and use the code EAST. Welcome to East Meets West. I'm Tom Merritt.
And I'm Roger Chang.
And I am also moved. If you happen to be watching the live streaming video of this, or perhaps an archived version on ODTV, you'll notice that my video looks slightly different. I still have Darth Vader and the Scott Johnson Iron Man print, but they're in different locations. And there's nothing else behind me because I haven't totally finished unpacking yet.
Yes, I can imagine. Because it was just yesterday that you moved in.
It seems like just yesterday that I moved in, and it was. Roger helped out, actually. Thank you, Roger. I appreciate that.
Yes. It was a lot of lifting. I got my exercise in for the week.
Are you sore? Because you helped Patrick Norton move today.
No, I thought I would be, but I guess my daily calisthenics are actually paying off.
Nothing like daily calisthenics to keep you healthy and trim. Do you eat an apple a day, too?
No, I eat maybe an apple every other 3 days or something.
You're more of a PC man?
Yeah. Yeah. I like mangoes more than apples. But apples are good.
I have moved 23 times since 1988.
Is it because you were restless?
I suppose so in the early days. Most of those moves happened before the year 2000. I've slowed down my pace.
Oh, Well,
a lot of the moves were related to college, right? You go to college, you live in different places. You live for a while, roommates move on, graduate, this and that. So that's where I was averaging like moving every 6 months kind of thing. And then when I lived in Austin, Texas, I don't know what it was, but I just, broke up with a girlfriend, moved in with a friend, and then their landlord was going to remodel the house, and they tore down a wall of one of the rooms. So I moved into the only place I could find at the time, lived there for a few months, then found a place of my own, that kind of stuff. I mean, it's hard to explain why. I guess now I'm averaging about 3 or 4 years in a place before I move on.
Mm. And it's not because of bad checks or run-ins with the law.
No, I've never been evicted.
Hmm.
Yeah.
No bad checks?
No
one after you that you constantly got to change your identity and place?
Not that you know of, no.
Yeah. We'll call him Tyler Merritt.
So there's really nothing on my mind right now except unpacking boxes. I haven't really paid much attention to the news. I did watch the World Cup. We were talking about it in the pre-show, and I had to do a little, I was forced into doing a little experiment living without cable and watching the World Cup. I could not get ABC over the air. I live far enough now, I guess, from their tower that I think if I had an on-the-roof antenna, I would have been able to get it. Or maybe if I'd been able to string a wire outside, I might have been able to get it. But just having the antenna inside, I could pick up several other stations. I could pick up Channel 4 and CBS and PBS and a bunch of other stations, but I couldn't get ABC. So I ended up, I could get Univision, Channel 14.
That's all you need.
So I put that on.
You get your game shows.
Got HD video. And then Roger had suggested this a couple of weeks ago, and Phil Allingham reminded me of it. He's like, why don't we just turn on the radio for the English? And worked like a charm.
I mean, Univision, you get your news. You get your telenovelas, you get your blockbuster movies.
Well, I think you're going beyond the scope of what I was I was experiencing. DirecTV is now hooked up for me. You're suggesting that I shouldn't bother even hooking up internet or to
I just DirecTV. Have internet.
Just watch Univision.
I don't have I have cable TV but that's because they still send a signal to me for my cable modem.
Yeah.
So, I get all the way up to channel 44, which is what's the amalgam of WB and it's like
CW.
That's pretty much where it ends, and then the rest of that is color bars and infomercials like QVC and stuff like that.
Funny that they do let you watch the infomercials, huh?
I think it's, they pay and who really wants to steal, you know, a 1 hour time limit on like gold encrusted zirconium or something? Or zirconium encrusted gold.
Sounds like you watch a little bit of QVC.
I'm always interested because occasionally they'll have like something I think I might want. Like they'll have a camera or they'll have a laptop or something. I'm looking at it. It's like, hey, you know, I wonder if it's a good deal. And then invariably it's a crappy deal because you're essentially paying list. But, you know, it's always cool because I'm curious to see how people, you know, non-techie people would explain or at least tout the benefits of certain features in, like, say, a laptop or a HD video camera.
And often, yeah, I've seen some of those. Have you seen any of those? They get very basic. You know, this,
yes.
and they get two things. One is very basic, you know, just talking about like it zooms in and takes one, you know, that kind of stuff. And then they'll spout off specs that you can tell they have no idea what it means. Like 10x zoom, 6.1, 6.1 mm, 1.18, f43, all of those things, whatever they mean, are packed inside this great HD video camera.
Well, what gets me, maybe someone here in the chat room might know, is any of the jewelry they actually hawk worth what they're demanding, like in terms of, you know, the price listed? Because, you know, jewelry is always one of those things I've always been taught. It's like you have to hold in your hand and be able to judge for yourself. You just can't, you know, ship away for it and decide, yeah, it's $300 worth of.
Well, that's true of the internet too. And people order tons of stuff off the internet without being able to hold it in their hand.
Yeah, but, you know, on those things are generally commodity items and, you know, they don't vary. For example, I mean, like, you know, do gold wedding bands come out from one factory all the exact same, you know, carat and size or, you know, look? You know, I mean, aren't those individually crafted depending on the store or stores or something? I know nothing about jewelry, so.
That's a good question. It was not my impression that that's the way it worked. I thought that most of the retail outlets acquired their jewelry from wholesalers. That's why they had that big jewelry mart over there near Tech TV back in the day. Well, the jewelry mart's still there. Tech TV isn't. But that was sort of the wholesalers outlet where they would. And what I don't know is who makes the jewelry that comes to the wholesaler. Do they make it themselves? Do they craft it and cut it? I don't even think that's true. I think it's a long retail chain.
I'm curious. I know the line for the thing for diamonds, you know, from the mines out to the actual stores is a long one. It gets bought by bulk, and then they sift through it for rating the various diamonds and stuff, and then they get shipped out and sold to yet another group of people. But for gold, I mean, you know, it's can't you just buy it like gold ingots or something and then just melt it in the back and form whatever you want? I mean, granted, it can't be. Well, I guess it could be solid, but solid gold's really soft. Like you should be able to at least meld it or mold it with your hands a little bit. But
so you're thinking they make gold rings like pottery?
That would be kind of cool, wouldn't it? Like they make a cast of your finger or whoever's finger, and then you just, you know, you size it and then you make whatever ornamentation you need, and then jam whatever precious stone or birthstone or I don't know, freaking Josser's ring or something like that. Actually, the Josser's rings have to be, or Josser, you know, the ones that do all the class rings, those have to come out of a huge factory.
That's got to, those things are stamped. You can almost tell. You can almost
like
see
Super
the
Bowl rings.
Yeah.
I wonder if Super Bowl rings are stamped that way too.
Are they? Do you know that?
No, I don't know. But it'd be kind of interesting.
But I've never held a Super Bowl ring, so I can't say for sure.
They actually just have.
You're the only person I know who has won a Super Bowl.
I've never won a Super Bowl.
Oh, okay. I was under a misimpression then.
It'd be kind of cool, like, just to have those, you know, big ass rock when you're talking, you just kind of, hey, and you just kind of, you know, to kind of impress people without sticking in their face.
They don't look like the kind of rings.
Boy, is it hot. And you have this big ass, you know, Super Bowl, whatever.
That's what people do when they get engaged, right? They do all kinds of things with their hands to be like, oh, did you see show off their ring.
Did you hurt your finger? There's something around it.
Yeah, right.
Are you getting ready for San Diego? Because that is but a week away.
That is button up against us very soon. Yes, Comic-Con San Diego, not the only Comic-Con, but the big Comic-Con, the huge yes. Comic-Con. Eileen and I started to look over the schedule the other day. And by that, I mean Eileen was looking over the schedule and telling me the things that I would be interested in. I still need to plan it. But I am going to do a Tech News Today episode from there on a Friday. I'm going to be a guest on New Brew Thursday. They're going to do a recording from down there. There's going to be a meetup there on Saturday night. I'm going to try to go to Woodstock on Saturday night. I do want to hit some of the panels as well. There's a ton of cool panels going on. It seems like they're all happening at the same time.
I have yet to look at the programming guide, but there are a few that I would be interested in if there's anything related to, of course, you know, the Doctor Who-ish style or
I don't
stuff.
Think there's a Doctor Who panel this year, which is sad because, you know, this would be a great way to introduce Matt Smith. I never remember.
Isn't he already part of the season? I mean,
introduce Matt Smith to Comic-Con, not obviously, you know, just last year was sort of the goodbye. We both went to the Doctor Who and it was David Tennant and the whole production crew, and they were all sort of reminiscing about the run and how they were going to wrap it up and everything. And so this would be a great chance to say, hey, it's not over, you know, here's the new guy. But unless they haven't scheduled it yet, there are some panels that are going to happen that aren't on the schedule quite yet. They're last minute. So I hold out hope.
I am. So what's this meetup? Is it just a general
I think it's a New Brew Thursday meetup that I'm going to surf in on. It's going to be at a brewery involving beer, because that's what their podcast is about. So it sort of makes sense.
No, not to plug Revision 3, but there is going to be a live Dignation down there. I forget where it's at.
Is that right?
On
Very
Thursday.
Nice.
So I'm probably going to avoid that.
You're going to avoid that, you said?
Well, you know, I mean, it's going to be my vacation, so I'm trying to avoid work, if
you
possible.
Know, I know we can't talk too deeply about this because you work at Revision 3, and I actually do a show for them as well. But with Dignation winding down a little bit, from all indications,
cannot speak to anything about Dignation.
No. What I'm wondering, and I think you might be able to comment on this, in a sort of abstract sense, could a podcast, and Dignation is one of the few that could do this, transition itself from being a podcast to being an occasional live event? So I'm not asking you, are they, would they, what's the plans? I'm just saying, is that something that could work? Where, because Dignation goes out, right? And they have these live events and they get 1,000 people show up. They fill these fairly large venues that big name indie bands fill. Couldn't they say, like, okay, you know what? We're not gonna do our episodes all the time anymore, but we'll go on tour, essentially. Do you think that's a crazy idea? Is that some way that we could think outside
of the box? If you have a podcast show and both, you know, whatever's involved with it is open to doing that, I don't see why not. But I don't know if you would be able to maintain. I mean, at some point, you would need to release something other than just doing live shows.
Because you tour in support of an album. You don't have to have an album out all the time, but I guess you have to put something out to tour in support of that to get people interested again.
I mean, like, comedians tour, but they also they do something, right, in order to generate a buzz about them. I mean, what's his name? Redhead guy got kicked off his or left his talk show, Tonight Show. Conan O'Brien.
Conan O'Brien. You couldn't think of Conan O'Brien's name. That's not good.
Why? For
him?
He
has to come back
me.
To TBS quick. Roger can't even remember who he is.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Like, if Conan O'Brien, now that he's doing his tour and doing his own thing, well, after a point, you know, say you do it for 2-3 years, will people stop caring, other than like the super diehard fans, which will always appeal to? But won't you constantly need to get your name out there somehow? Like, whether it's like, you know, doing a special TV show or getting involved in some sort of news item, like shoplifting at a very expensive store, so your name is plastered over the evening news or something, just to continually keep your name in people's minds.
Yeah, I think you have to do something. Otherwise, the attendance would start to dribble away, and you have to, and those things could be different things. It wouldn't necessarily be having to do a weekly show. You could do some special events, special interviews. I don't know.
Special heists.
It's an interesting idea, and one that I think we will see put into place, according to what Kevin's been saying on Dig Nation. So it'll be interesting to watch. You know, one way to keep your name alive is to have a blog so that people can go read about what you're doing. Squarespace.com is a great place to start a blog. They are sponsoring today's East Meets West. And if you're going to start a blog, they have an easy-to-use UI for creating and managing your website, optimized for both beginners and CSS experts. I know some CSS, but frankly, I don't even need to use it on the Squarespace blog I do for Forecast Podcast. I just use one of the default templates, and it works great. But you don't have to. You can spruce it up. You can make it look nice. My wife uses it, and she's got her Bike Club podcast on there, and it looks freaking fantastic. So whatever amount of energy you want to put into it, you can make use of it with Squarespace. So try it out. Let's say you've got a WordPress blog or movable type or TypePad blog, or if you don't have any blog at all, you just want to get started. Go to squarespace.com, and you don't need a credit card. Try it out for free. Try it out a little bit. Import your blog over. It's not going to delete your current blog. Just import it over. Use the new easy import tool and play around with it. See if you like it. And if you do, you can get 10% off your purchase when you enter the offer code EAST. That's E-A-S-T. So if we were to go out on tour, do you think anybody would...
I don't know. It'd be kind of cool. I mean, we could do a very small venue. We could do like a very small locals bar. We'll be in the back.
There's I know the perfect place in my new neighborhood. There's a little soft serve ice cream and burger shop. They don't have any seats inside, but there's a couple of chairs and a table outside. I think we could fill that.
We could be buskers, kind of street performers.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of in the parking lot of the shopping center.
It's actually one of the interesting things about San Diego Comic-Con is because there's so many people that attend, upwards around 130 plus thousand people, you get a lot of activity in the Gaslamp area, which is right across from the convention center, including people who, you know, may or may not be related to a marketing campaign. So they'll have like busker-like, you know, individuals. They had that one cafe set up like the cafe from Eureka last year. You know, they changed the name and the menu, even though it's the same food.
Right.
Put posters up and stuff like that. They had the Whippet crew out there. They basically had they flew, I guess, one of the Austin roller derby teams, and they were promoting Drew Barrymore's Whippet movie. And it's kind of cool in a way because... You know, for stuff like, you know, when you go to CES, a lot of that is just kind of tired and, you know, like, who cares? But when it's, you know, stuff like, you know, shows you care about, you think, hey, that's really cool. I'm going to go stand in line like a schmuck, like I did at the WB booth to get one of their bag, to get a bag that says, you know, WB on it, but because it had, like, Smallville.
You're still in on the swag. You know, Smallville's going to be doing their last panel at Comic-Con this year. Tom Welling will be there. They say they're going to reveal some secrets. They're not going to reveal any secrets at all. But this
we
is
slept
the last
with each other on the set. That's what they're going to reveal.
They cuddled, just spooned, nothing else. No. What do you think? A lot of people hate Smallville. It almost made my top five worst sci-fi movies on TV. Didn't quite have just the number of people behind it. I feel like it's been through an inverted bell curve. It started kind of like a Dawson's Creek ripoff. It started by the third, fourth season, and it followed that pattern, I think, that shows have, where it really hit its stride and had some really good stories. Then about six or seven, it started losing its momentum, and I thought, you know, you really need to make him Superman and get on with it. And Lex Luthor left, and it just wallowed.
It basically felt like they were stretching with it. Because, you know what happens, right? He becomes Superman. I mean, you can't get out of that. So
that's fun to play around with for a few years, but after a while, you're like, you know, the tension really isn't building. I know what's going to happen to him.
X-Files had the same problem. It's like you're getting toward the end. It's just like, okay, resolve this whole thing. I mean, you added new people. added, you know, more twists to the plot, but this is the same plot was still there, and it just felt like you were just really milking it. You were like squeeze, like wringing out a sponge or a wet towel. You're trying to get every last bit of money you can out of it before you discard it. And that's when things get tired and old and uninteresting. I'm hoping that Stargate Universe actually doesn't do that. Actually, I need to hit one of their panels. I know I'm actually doing a press line with Eileen for Community, which is weird because, you know, there's now all these shows that normally don't fit within a Comic-Con, but they have things like Community, they have Glee, they had Sarah Silverman, she had her own panel last year, and I think it's just an excuse for a lot of these studios and stuff to just kind of, again, expose people to their fall lineup to a very receptive audience and then have them spread it word of mouth to, you know, their friends, family, coworkers, and stuff like that.
I think they've started to realize we're going there anyway. There's a ton of people who are fans that will show up. Why miss the opportunity? Even if it isn't squarely in the Comic-Con space, if it's a show that's popular with this demo, the same demo that attends Comic-Con, and Glee and Community, I think, are examples about that. 30 Rock, they did a 30 mm-hmm. Rock panel too. Then yes, they're going to say, you know what, screw whether this is the definition of sci-fi or fantasy or comic-based. Let's just do it and see if people show up. And people have, because they're like, hey, you know what, I'm actually here for Comic-Con and I would love to see Smallville or Merlin or, you know, one of those kind of shows. But I'm a big fan of Glee too, so I'm going to go attend that.
Comic-Con and all conventions have traditionally always been fan conventions. They've been something that fans put together, and they get together, get guests that they think will appeal. So whether it's something dedicated to like Twilight or Star Trek or Star Wars, like there's Star Wars Celebration in Florida in a few months, and it's all Star Wars. San Diego Comic-Con's kind of weird because now, you know, you could cynically say that a lot of the major studios have kind of co-opted it and they kind of reversed the model. Right. Instead of the fans.
Yeah, I think Comic-Con has turned into something that is different than what people want from it. And Dragon Con has become the thing that is what Comic-Con used to want to be, which is a fan fest. Comic-Con isn't a fan fest anymore. Some people think that's awful. I personally don't think it's that bad. I think Comic-Con is still a very enjoyable, cool thing, but it's not the thing it used to be or used to aim to be.
It's not like it was when it first started.
I don't even mean that so much. I don't mean like, oh, I liked it before it sold out. I think it's just mutated into something.
No, literally before the tickets sold out last year.
Right, before I couldn't get any more tickets. All right, well, we will report back from Comic-Con. It's 2 weeks away, right?
Yeah, it starts the 22nd. Now, if you have the 4-day pass, you can get on Wednesday night, which is the preview night, and that's where basically what to expect for the next 3 days. If you are going, and if anyone's listening, do bring comfortable shoes because convention center is huge, and you will also need to be basically patient, plan out, because these are huge lines for everything. There's huge lines for all the giveaways in the exhibitors hall. There's huge lines for the panels. They do not clear out the room. So, you know, you can go conceivably for the panel before it, even though you don't care about it. Say it's like a Muppets reunion or something like that. And you want to stay for the memoirs of James Doohan as Scotty. And, you know, you sit there and then you can stay in the room and move up. But, you know, it's San Diego Comic-Con is the only one I've ever been to where you've had that many people in such a confined space. And the convention center is huge. But it's just a lot of waiting, a lot of meandering. But it's also a cool way to meet a lot of like-minded people who are interested in the same things that you are. That when you talk about the TARDIS or the Heisenberg compensators, people aren't going to give you like a weird look, which is great because, you know, you can start conversations with almost anyone about almost, you go around and I was talking to this woman who was a Canadian, but she was living in Austin. Of all things, and we were there for the Battlestar Galactica Richard Hatch panel, and we were talking about Battlestar Galactica and you know, how her friend's going to teach her how to use her SLR, but they stopped becoming friends. So I had to teach her how to use it during the panel so she could shoot the panel. But it's fun because, you know, you get the stories and it's almost like a geek convention. I mean, it is a geek convention.
I think you nailed it. I think that Comic-Con is no longer a comic or fantasy or even sci-fi convention. It's a geek convention and people geek out on lots of things. True Blood, Glee, Community, 30 Rock.
Community.
You know, that may be not the main thing that they geek out on, but people geek out on it. And so if you can geek out on it, they're going to put it in there. That's why Lost was there. Lost isn't a particularly sci-fi mainstream show, but all of the people who attend Comic-Con are susceptible to geek out on Lost. I know you're an exception, and there's plenty of exceptions in the audience, of course, but
I think
you're right. I think it's a geek fest. Not that Dragon Con isn't. Dragon Con's totally a geek fest, too.
What
are you flying back on Sunday the 25th? Because I'm not going to be landing until like 5 minutes before East meets West. So we
Figure so out how do we how do we do that? That? Because I'll actually be flying out around 8. So, 8
p.m. Okay. Wow. We might just have to skip the show that week and then give you our Comic-Con wrap-up a week later. We'll have to see. Either that or I land and then I just stay in the airport and do the show over Wi-Fi from there.
I think there was a Buffy sing-along that I wanted to go, but I forgot when it was.
Oh, well, okay. If you need to go to your Buffy sing-along, we'll just skip the show.
I have missed out on 4 of them. Each time I was like ready to go and something happened and I couldn't attend.
Yeah.
So I want to go.
We could try to do it East meets West a day early. We could try to do it on Saturday.
We could meet up and sit in a bar somewhere. You know, I'll have my friends, Carrie Smith and Stephanie Lantry, the artist and writer for Conjoined Comics. They'll be floating around. Of course, you know Aileen over at October Toys and does Toy Break.
She's going to be on Forecast this week with George.
Woot! Awesome. I'll have to listen this time. No, I listen to all of them except I actually listen to the one I was on. But it's actually, you know, that this is what's interesting. I've talked to a lot of industry people who have booths or in a comic, like, you know, their colors illustrators, and what they've told me is over the years it's been less about attending the panels for them and it's become more of a social meetup because that's where all the people they know.
Well, that's South by Southwest. Together. That's exactly what South by Southwest is, and Comic-Con is getting that way too, I guess, huh?
Well, for people who don't go to South by Southwest, it could be their South by Southwest.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for catching East Meets West. I know we're a little shorter this week than normal, but I got some boxes I got to go unpack. So thank you, Roger, as usual.
Thank you for unboxing all your stuff after the arduous move. Actually, thanks for dinner last night, too. It was good.
I'm sorry, what?
I said thanks for dinner last night, too.
Oh, yes. This is turning into a disgusting thank fest, but you're welcome. And thanks to Jammer B while we're thanking people for producing the show. Thanks to Leo for letting us have East Meets West on the Twit Network. You can watch it every Sunday, most every Sunday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, live.twit.tv. And you can find us and comment on the show at subbrilliant.com/EMW. Until the next time, we will be here next week. Talk to you then.
Bye.